start the launch sequence.
Countdown for liftoff. T-minus 5.
Are your kids ready for life after school? Let's get them ready.
Hello again and welcome to episode number 10 of The Launch Sequence. I'm Bill Priestley and hopefully things are going well in your world. This is a podcast where we attempt to give your kids the keys to launch their careers. And today we're going to be jumping into an interesting subject around the idea of numbers and trends and how all that plays into a young person making a decision about what they want to do with their lives. Or it's kind of more or less about what we as parents look at in terms of numbers and helping our children make those kinds of decisions. So we're going to go over some numbers we talked about in the last podcast and jump into some newer numbers that are interesting when we look at playing the percentages. More specifically, does playing the percentages work? Does what seems to work for the majority, is that a good idea to follow as a roadmap for our own kids? One of the great concerns parents have about children is if they will make enough money to support themselves. Obviously, there are concerns about being healthy and happy, but there is always something in the back of a parent's mind about making sure that the child can fund their own life, especially if something happens to them. And we talked last time about the connection between what parents say and don't say as being reflected in their child's choice of career and how parents have much more input on that than perhaps even they think. 73% of high schoolers in a Wisconsin study said that they would listen to a parent first before anyone else before it came to career choice. Now, I'm going to throw some numbers at you, and these are going to sound like leading points, as if there's some conclusion you need to come to. There is not. I'll clarify that in a bit, but these numbers, you might think that there's going to be a point that's coming up to this that should be rather obvious. The first is a statistic that has been growing since it started being seriously tracked. You can check the numbers from different sources, but I'm going to state several, starting with the Social Security Administration that claims, on average, a person with a college degree will make $655,000 more over their lifetime than a person with simply a high school diploma. The APLU states that a college graduate makes on average $36,000 more per year than those with just a high school diploma. Money.com has that same number at $22,000 a year. The U.S. Career Institute has it at $17,500 a year. The point here is pretty obvious. The difference between a job with a high school diploma and a job with a college degree is about the value of a decent used car to a decent new car. Year over year. So that's one piece of information to file away. Here's another. The Strata Institute for the Future of Work and the Burning Glass Institute reported earlier this year that more than half of college graduates within a year of graduating from college are underemployed, meaning they're working jobs that don't require a college degree, like waiting tables, working in retail, perhaps working in a factory. That same study says that 10 years after graduation, that number only shrinks to 45%. Statista reports that 40.3% of all college graduates that got their diploma between 2017 and 2023 were underemployed in December of 2023. Well, you say, Bill, those numbers are awfully high to just come out of the blue like that. And to that, I would say yes, but it's not out of the blue. The Federal Bank of New York posted a study of historical significance, which was quoted by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, saying, quote, "The underemployment rate for new college graduates has risen substantially since 2000, with a number of graduates accepting jobs that are part-time or low-paying jobs or both. Steadily rising, the underemployment rate for recent college graduates increased from 34% in 2001 to 44% by 2012. And you can see it climbing again to over 50% in 2023. Among other things, the study cited the financial crisis of 2008 as one of the reasons for this increase, saying that that event did irreparable harm to lifetime earnings for graduates from that time frame moving forward. That's another piece of information to file away. And here's the last one I want you to listen to as well. This is something that you probably already knew, or perhaps you perceived, or maybe even thought about, or maybe even experienced yourself. a British team decided to study teenagers aged 16 to 21 about their attitudes regarding career choice. And not just that, but how motivated they were when it came to career choice. Those students that were younger, say 16, 17, they were much more aligned to a specific career in mind and were intrinsically motivated to go after that career. As they got older, especially into their first year of being a college student, their enthusiasm and intrinsic motivation for that career declined and was replaced by an extrinsic motivation around getting a job, any job, that made money. This is something that I've experienced in an informal survey that I put out and I asked you to do not too long ago in another episode of this podcast. And that is this. I asked students, if you don't have a job, and I've got a job for you, it could be any job in the world, how much money would you have to make in order for you to take this job? In other words, the idea is you pick how much you're going to make in the course of a year. High schoolers have never given me a number less than $200,000 a year. College students have never given me a number above $125,000. One college student even said, I'll take $40,000 right now. Now, it's at this point that you look at these three data points and you can come to an interesting conclusion. That is, if you, as a parent, push your child to go to college, their earnings potential goes up. Statistically, that's true. But if you push them to go to college and they don't have an idea of what they want to do with their lives, they could be underemployed or simultaneously unhappy for 10 years because they jumped at the first thing that could make some money out of college. That's the natural conclusion. If you want to look at the question, does playing the percentages work? We're people that are inundated by data, and this is some interesting data that can capture our attention and lead us to that conclusion. But let's take a look really quickly at that question. Does playing the percentages work, especially? Well, what do you mean by work? Are we talking about coming from a parental perspective, whereby success might be dictated more towards your child's earning financial independence through their job? Are we talking about from a young perspective in terms of laying out a strategy to be successful in life? Those two things are not always equal, and sometimes they're not even close, not even on the same page, maybe not even in the same book. The thing that catches my eye the most about these three studies is the motivation factor. That the closer a student gets to the possibility of starting a career, the less intrinsically motivated they are in attempting to gain that career they love, and they're more extrinsically motivated in trying to get a job that will help them afford the basic necessities of life. And in that change in attitude, there is less confidence in gaining a job in a desired career field because the training for the job also isn't there. On-the-job training is now too expensive for companies. They want employees to hit the ground running when they sign on. Studies have shown this. The Washington Post put out an article 11 years ago that stated, quote, companies simply haven't invested much in training for their workers. In 1979, young workers got an average of 2.5 weeks of training a year. While data is not easy to come by, around 1995, several surveys of employers found that the average amount of training workers received per year was just under 11 hours. And the most common topic was workplace safety, not building new skills. By 2011, an Accenture study showed that only about a fifth of employees reported getting on-the-job training from their employers over the past 5 years, unquote. At the same time, employers and parents are accusing colleges and universities for not preparing students for careers and the skills they need in order to succeed. Newsweek magazine published a study done by the Freedom Economy Index, or FEI, which stated, quote, when asked if institutions of higher education were graduating students with relevant skills that today's business community needs, 67% of employers said strongly no. Another 24.4% of employers said somewhat no, and only 8.7% said somewhat yes, strongly yes, or other. Intelligent.com stated that 4 in 10 business leaders in a survey said that college graduates were not graduating with the required skills to succeed in the job market. So we're left with this void for the college graduate, leaving school without certain desired skills and or entering the workforce forced to be an effective employee immediately. What these articles and studies seem to point to is that the corporate solution is that employers need to tell institutions of higher learning what they are looking for in a graduate, putting the onus of training, especially in soft skills, in the university or college's court. But what does that mean for your child? Do you stand back and let the colleges and universities of the world take the responsibility of preparing your child for the workforce, whatever kind of workforce that will be? Again, I go back to the motivation factor. Students with rising anxiety about getting a job after college are playing the game of life at its most basic level. They are falling back out of what they want and falling into what they have to do in order to survive. And for more than half of them, it's a job that doesn't require a college degree, and it can stay that way for possibly another 10 years. So when it comes to sending your kid off to college and saying, oh, they'll figure it out, be careful of what you're sending them into. Yes, college can open up a lot of doors, and it is a great struggle to climb the mountain and earn that degree. But college is also an hourglass ticking down to a time when your child has to decide how they are going to survive. In that respect, playing the percentages can be the wrong game to play. Yes, you can play that game corporately and talk about any child, and the choices they make will funnel them through this phase of life, and that, yes, financially, a college degree will benefit any child. But it is not the ticket to a life that they want. So what is the attitude we need to take to make sure our kids do indeed reach a level of success that reaps financial sustainability and independence from their parents? Consider instead of finding a career or a job, try to help them find their career or their job. And let them be active and present and in control in this pursuit. When they are in high school, narrow down the careers they would really love by the criteria of if they need, not want, but need to go to college in order to achieve them. Have them keep asking questions of discernment in those first 2 years of college and make the choice of a college major bent on a specific industry they want to go into. Maybe not something right in line with an exact target, but maybe something that gives an employer the indication that the student had them in mind when they picked the major. Encourage them to network and intern in that industry in their junior and senior years, and when graduation day comes and they've done their due diligence and learned the industry and have earned an offer for a position at a company that could be the start of a great career, that's the percentage you should be playing. In a nutshell, your child's success is not built on the education they bought, nor the major they selected, nor the diploma they received. Your child's success is dictated by their ability to discern what they want to do and to adapt their lives to that goal using whatever assets they have access to, including people, to their greatest advantage. The Dream Job Blueprint is one tool they can use to start down that path of discernment. But if we as parents are asking our kids to become the success we want them to be, however we and they define it, we need them to take this responsibility themselves and not simply play the percentages in hope that a few right decisions will win them a life they want and a life that we want as parents. That's going to do it for this episode. A reminder, go to dreamjobfactory.com/blueprint and you can get a head start on all of that with your child with the Dream Job Blueprint. That's our ebook program, very economically priced. It's good for anyone with a child 11 years old and up, and it's even good for you if you're considering a career change there as well. Again, check it out. Go to dreamjobfactory.com/blueprint and let's help your kids get the keys to launch their careers. While you're at it, go ahead and sign up and join us on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/thedreamjobblueprint there as well. Till we meet again, Bill Priest is saying thanks for listening. Lots more to come. And remember the words of Don Zimmer, the great baseball coach who had a great take on percentages when he said, what you lack in talent can be made up with desire, hustle, and giving 110% all the time. I'll see you next time.
The Launch Sequence is the official podcast of the Dream Job Factory. For more information, check out our website at dreamjobfactory.com. where you can view all of the tools we have to help your child identify a life path. You can also sign up for our newsletter to get the latest podcasts and information in the career discernment space for young people. We also invite you to join our Facebook page at facebook.com/thedreamjobfactory.
This has been The Launch Sequence, giving your kids the keys to launch their careers.